Pastor. Well, good morning. Welcome to Harvest, and we're glad that you're here this morning, and we're looking forward to hearing from God this morning. Now, my wife tells me, David, you're a terrible joke teller.
Do not tell jokes in your sermon. So what am I going to do this morning? Tell jokes. Amen. Woo! Last Christmas, Grandpa was feeling his age and found that shopping for Christmas gifts had become too difficult. So he decided to send checks to everyone this year. I mean, who doesn't like money? Amen? One size fits all. So in each card, he wrote in big, bold letters, "Buy your own present," and mailed the cards early. Well, he enjoyed the usual flurry of family festivities, and it was only after the holiday that he noticed that he received very few cards in return. Puzzled over this, he went to a study, intending to write a couple of relatives and ask them what happened. It was then that he cleared off his cluttered desk and he got his answer. Under the stack of papers, he was horrified to find all of the checks that he didn't mail out and forgot to put in the cards. One more? Humor me? Okay. It was just before Christmas, and the judge was in a happy mood. He asked the prisoner who was in the dock, "What are you charged with?" The prisoner replied, "Doing my Christmas shopping too early." "Well, that's no crime," said the judge. "Just how early were you doing your shopping?" The prisoner replied, "Before the shop was opened." Okay, I'm done. Can I tell you that I love Christmas? It is my favorite time of year. And I grew up in a Christian home, parents who loved me. And not to whine, but we always had what we needed, but we didn't have a lot of it. So Christmas was a big deal around the Wyrick household. Now, my dad always made sure that we had gifts to open. But the crazy thing is, he seemed to enjoy it the most. Except my dad always got the same presents every year. Maybe a tie, t-shirts, unmentionables, and cheap cologne. Every year the same thing. Every year. And every year he would get that gift and act like it was the best thing he'd ever received. And every year he would act all surprised, and every year it was the same thing. T-shirts, cheap cologne, unmentionables, and maybe a tie. And now that I have children, I can understand what he went through. Honestly, gifts are nice, but you know what I enjoy doing? Watching my children open their gifts. Now, every year, my wife and I tell each other we're not going to buy each other gifts. And every year, I promise her I won't. And every year, I lie. And I buy her a gift. And this year is no different. We've already had our speeches. She's already said, "Now, David, we don't need each other to get each other anything." "Yes, honey, we shouldn't do that." "Now, you're not going to do that this year." "Correct, I'm not. Fingers crossed." I already know what I'm going to buy her. That's how the Savior looks at us and God looks at us. He's given us such a precious gift. And when we give Him glory back for it, it brings such joy to Him. The title of the sermon this morning is Christmas, a time of joy and praise. Can we say that together? Christmas, a time of joy and praise. Father, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Lord Jesus, I desperately need You this morning. I need Your help. Lord, I need to make sure that I'm doing what I need to do. Lord, I want to bring honor to You. So God, I ask that You forgive me the many things that I think, say, and do that break Your law. Keep me pure before You today, Lord. Help me to be a conduit of love. Guide my words, my tongue. And Lord, be with those in the audience, those on Facebook, those in the radio. Help their ears to be sensitive to Your words. Especially the Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever noticed how Christmas carols mention joy? How often they mention joy? For instance, O Come All Ye Faithful. The words, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. As a matter of fact, I love the town Bethlehem. You know why? It's for spiritual reasons. Because it reminds me of food. Beth-la-ham. What do you expect? I'm not good at jokes. I told you that. But true story, I'm very juvenile. In the radio station, every time a song's on, I emphasize the word ham at Bethlehem. How about what child is this? Raised the sun on high. The virgin birth sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born. What child is this? Raised the sun on high. The virgin birth sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born. The babe, the son of Mary. O holy night, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Hark the herald angels sing, joyful all you nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born. God rest you, merry gentlemen. O tidings of comfort and joy. Beautiful. How about joy to the world? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. Let heaven and earth receive her King. You know, a side note, you probably noticed Joy to the World, which is one of my personal favorites, was actually published by Isaac Watts back in 1719, back when Mr. Peacher was born. Of course, you've heard the story that he actually never intended for it to be a Christmas carol, but actually a song to celebrate his birth, but more importantly, his second coming. But at the end of the day, we love it. Why? Because the words are true. Jesus' birth brought us joy unspeakable to the lost, wicked, hate-filled world. Christ came to this earth during a very dark time in history. And for those who were looking, it was a reminder that God had not forgotten them. God's perfect plan and His perfect time came in His perfect way to bring salvation for all who believe. Christmas reminds us that no matter what is going on, no matter what burdens we carry, that joy is here if we'll simply come before His presence. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of light. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." This time of year, Christmas should be about telling others the joy that is only found in Christ. Amen. Jesus, whose name Emmanuel means what? God is with us. He was sent to this earth for us. So let's quickly go through this morning. Point number one is simply this. We can have joy and praise in His perfect plan. We can have joy and praise in His perfect plan. Luke chapter 2 says this, "And it came to pass in those days, there went a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city." You know, we need to understand something, that Luke chapter 2 verse 1, those days, they were not pretty days. Not if you were a Jew. They were occupied by the Romans. And let me remind you, they were not kind to the Jews. This was not good days. They didn't have Wi-Fi or cell phones. Or they didn't have comfortable houses to live in. Those that are meager wage at least didn't. They could not go just where they wanted to, when they wanted to. Believe me, it was dark, heavy, painful, dangerous days that they lived in. Not only was it bad enough they were under the cruel hands of a foreign power, the dictator Caesar, he had his tax. I mean, honestly, it wasn't good for Mary and Joseph. I mean, I've never walked 90 miles in my life. Maybe my lifetime, maybe. But could you imagine doing it, being great with child? That walk from Nazareth to Bethlehem. But even this trial, this difficulty, it was all part of God's divine plan. Caesar may have been ruler, but you get this, church, God was still in charge. Just like He is in 2020. Don't let the world tell you any different. Remember, beloved, we can have joy and praise in His perfect plan. Why? Because God is still in charge. Can I remind you that God is the author of history, or some may say His story? Not only did God create the world and everything in it, God wrote the history book. Think about it. The Old Testament, there's over 350 prophecies, all given concerning Jesus, His birth, His work on the cross, His death, His ultimate resurrection. And every single one of them has come true, or soon will be true. Why? It's His story. It's His plan. He's in control. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. God fulfilled the promise. Why? He has to. He's God. He cannot lie. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. 1 Peter chapter 1, 9 through 11 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what? Of what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. He promised. He fulfilled. Jesus came. He came. God's not just the author of history. He makes history happen. God wrote the script long before we were born. And everything's working out exactly according to His plan. Everything. Even 2020. You know what's crazy? Is God uses people who don't even believe Him to fulfill His word. Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man in the known world, the cruel dictator, he did whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted, as often as he wanted. He had an army to make sure people did what he told them to do. And guess what? I'm sure that tax filled his pockets nice. I'm sure it helped his empire. But remember, beloved, who was in charge? God was in charge. We can have joy and praise in His perfect plan. Proverbs 21:1, don't forget. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, and the rivers of water, He turneth it whatsoever He will. Don't you think for one minute that the government is in charge? They're not in charge. Don't you think for one minute that the devil is in charge? He's not in charge. God is in charge, doing what He wants, when He wants, how He wants. And He's given you two choices. Get on board or get out of the way. That's the choice. And we can shake our fist at God. And can I tell you something in 2020? If we think for one moment that we can change things, we can't. This time last year, I flew to Amarillo, Texas, and I was in the airplane. I was supposed to leave at like 11 o'clock in the morning, and then fog rolled in, and I spent all day in the airport. And to make matters worse, they were charging for luggage, and so, you know, God forbid I pay $25, so I'm lugging around this 10,000-pound backpack. And you can't leave the backpack, because that's a bad thing to do in an airport. So I have to lug it around everywhere I go. Now, if you've ever been to an airport, it's designed for ebb and flow. It's not designed to have extra people hanging around. So the more flights get canceled, the more crowded it gets. The more crowded it gets, the less seats there are. The less seats there are means you're what? You're standing. And so I didn't want to lose my seat, so I just sat there. And they kept saying, oh, we're going to leave at 11:30. Or we're going to leave at 12:30. Or we're going to leave at 3. Or we're going to leave at 4. No, we're going to leave at 5. We're going to leave at 6. We're going to leave at 7. So finally, 12 hours later, I get on the plane. And guess what it was? We're leaving at 7:30. We're going to leave at 8. We're going to leave at 8:45. Now we'll leave it at 9. Now we'll leave it at 9:30. Finally, we get up in the air. Well, I just happened to be sitting next to a Christian. She was a professor at Liberty University. And we talked the whole time. We quoted scriptures. We sang some hymns. I kid you not, right in the airplane. And we're talking back and forth. Well, we get up and we finally get over Amarillo, Texas, and we're circling. And we're circling. And we're circling. And you ever notice the airline pilot, when he gets over the air to talk to you, it sounds like he's out of breath? And I'm like, first of all, you're not supposed to be Darth Vader, so move the microphone away from your mouth. And secondly, get off the treadmill and fly the plane, please. And he says, now we're approaching like 11 o'clock at night. And we're supposed to already been on the plane like 14 hours ago on the ground. And he says, if this fog doesn't clear up, we're going to have to fly back to Dallas and land. How many of you have ever spent the night in the airport? It is not fun. I have done it before. And I'm like, oh, great. Well, to make matters worse, it started to have some turbulence. I'm like, oh, that's great. I'm going to die. I'm already exhausted. So I'm sitting there, and I'm getting nervous. And the lady next to me, cool as a cucumber. I'm like, sweating. You know, you ever grip? Because you all know that's going to help you if that plane goes down. Gripping those, you know, hand things will keep you safe, right? And I tell people all the time, David, you scared of flying? I'm not scared of flying. I'm scared of crashing. Flying don't matter to me a bit. It's that sudden impact that bothers me. Then I'm sitting there, and I can tell she's cool as could be. I looked at her. I said, and I don't remember her name anymore. I said, aren't you nervous? And I'll never forget what she told me. She leaned over me and said, David, I'm in the palm of his hand. And if God wants this plane to crash, there isn't a power in this universe that can keep it from crashing. And David, if God doesn't want it to crash, there isn't a power in this universe that can keep it from crashing. Can I get a witness? She said, I'm in the palm of his hand. And in that, I'm holding. And with that, she sat back and started singing a hymn. What did I do? Buckle my seatbelt a little closer. Woo! Yeah, real spiritual, right? You know, God used Caesar's edict to fulfill his own plan. Mary and Joseph had to be in Bethlehem. Why? Because 700 years ago, God said that's what's going to happen. Why? He's the author of history. Micah 5:2. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephraim, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me. That is the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old for everlasting. God told Caesar, this is what I want you to do. You think this tax is for you. You think it's going to line your pockets. You think it's going to help your empire. But you're going to do what I tell you to do. And what did Caesar say? Yes, I'll do it. He didn't even know it. Beloved, do you hear his voice this morning? He's calling you. He's talking to you. He wants you to be saved. Are you fighting it? Can't you see his hand in your life? What has done for you over all these years? Nothing in this world can change biblical prophecies. Not the pandemic, not elections, not the economy, not even the devil himself. Think about the great distance that Nazareth was to Jerusalem. Mary, pregnant. They weren't wealthy. They were poor people. You might say, come on, can we give Mary and Joseph a break? Haven't they been through enough? The ridicule she had to go through? Joseph thought that he lost his wife, and now they've got to travel all these miles, and they're in hardship, and it's tough, and it's difficult. Why? 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 Because it was all part of God's plan. And the best part is, Mary and Joseph got to be used in it. You may say, David, I've got problems. I've got trials. God is leading us where we need to be in order to fulfill His purpose for our lives. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Things were difficult for Mary and Joseph, but God didn't let them down. He didn't do that to hurt them. He did that, why? To fulfill His perfect plan. 2020 has been rough. I've lost some friends in 2020. My wife lost 3 relatives in the matter of about 4 weeks. Both of her grandmas, her aunt, Grandma Gigi, her dear Grandma Gigi, Pastor Lewis's mama. Because of COVID, she died alone in the hospital. You know how heartbreaking it is to watch your wife beg and cry a nurse? I'll put on a mask. I'll put whatever you want. I want to put my grandpa's hands. And the answer was no. And grandma died alone. But even then, my wife says, I know it was His plan. I have to trust in that. I have to trust God. I have to know that He knows what's best for my life. That's difficult to do. No one ever said it was easy. I recently just attended Ron Benedict. He died of COVID. We used to go every Thanksgiving to Mrs. Benedict's parents' house. We spent time together. We all grew up. I was always the young, annoying one. I know, you find that hard to believe. I probably shouldn't have, but I hugged Brian's neck. Told him I loved him. I'm sorry. I hugged his brother Kevin's neck. I hugged his mom. Why? Because God has a plan. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. But He has a plan. He knows what He's doing. God is in charge. It was difficult. But God has a perfect plan in your life. And I'm here to tell you, I don't know where you're at financially. I don't know where you're at in your life emotionally, mentally. You may be struggling. You may be hurting. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you. He cares for you. And He has a plan for your life. Submit yourself to Him. Live for Him. If we as a church don't, who's going to? Who's going to? Who's going to stand up? Pastor Holmes has said it for years. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Come on, Christians. Who's going to stand up? Who's going to tell the world? Who's going to love on them? It ain't going to be Walmart. I'm going to tell you, it's not the Walmart Baptist Church. Can we stop it? I don't care if they say Merry Christmas. It's not their job to say Merry Christmas. We as Christians do. I don't expect the unredeemed to act redeemed. I don't expect those that are not living for Christ to act like they're living for Christ. It's our job. It's our job. We have to live for Christ. But we can have joy and praise. Why? Because He has a perfect plan. Number two, we can have joy and praise in His coming. Luke chapter 2 says, and so it was that while the days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. God could have given us anything He wanted, but He knew what we needed, His presence. Jesus came from heaven to fill the sin-filled world to be our Savior. That's right. Jesus came to us as a baby, born in a stable. Nope, not a sterile hospital room. Not even a comfortable home, but a glorified animal pen. The King of all kings came to be born. We can have joy and praise in His coming. Have you taken any time this Christmas season to simply say, Lord, thank You? Have you? Have you taken time to bow your head and say, Jesus, thank You for what You've done? Have you taken time to tell others about Him? I failed last night. Last night I miserably failed. We're at Speedway, getting gas to the vehicle, and a guy was on a phone, cussing and carrying on of a phone call. And I thought, man, that guy's going crazy. And I got in the vehicle, and the kids could hear it, and my wife, being the spiritual person she is, says, we should go give that guy a tract. And me, being the spiritual person I am, said, yeah, we should do that. Put it in drive, and I drove off. Yeah, I failed. You know why? I was scared. I was being a sis. I forgot that I worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it's my job to tell others. You ever get scared? You ever wimp out? I have. I apologized to my boys last night. I said, your dad didn't do it right. But next time, let's do it right, boys. Next time, let's both get out of the car. Let's go get that guy a track. Because we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he came down to this earth to be born. We can have joy and praise in that. He wasn't wrapped in a homemade knitted blanket or a beautiful brand new outfit. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Why? It was a picture of what he's going to do for us. To die on the cross for our sins. Jesus came as a baby, born to die. And because of that, we could have joy and praise in his coming. Let's skip to Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. I mean, many people today love the gifts, the lights, the traditions, the family gatherings, but they won't make Christmas personal. To receive Jesus, to make him Lord of their life, to allow him to have room in their inn, so to speak. They have no room. No room. For many, it's a material problem. They love the world and what it has to offer, but there's no room in their heart. There's no room in the inn. They're obsessed with what they can get, what they can accumulate. But beloved, can I point your attention to Mark 8:36? For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Some people look at Christmas as a crutch. Ah, they're too smart for that Christian thing. I mean, honestly, really? A virgin birth? Really? Really? He was born in a manger? Come on. What does 1 Corinthians tell us? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. This one here bothers me the most. Some folks are just too religious. They won't make room in the inn. They've got room for rules and regulations because that's what they've been taught. Traditions. But they can't accept the simple gift of salvation. Now think about it. And I'm not here to be mean. If all this extra stuff was needed, you know, communion or keeping commandments or being a good person, if it was all needed, why did he die on the cross? Wouldn't it have been a waste of time? If we had to add to it, Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. Meaning what? There's nothing else to do. When we add to salvation, we are cheapening the gospel. What we're really saying is, Jesus, I appreciate what you did, but I can do more. Beloved, I love you. No, you can't. We can't be good enough. We can't be nice enough. I mean, ask your spouse. They'll tell you the truth. Am I a nice person? Well, you know, when you're sleeping. Don't ask my wife. Good night. Don't do that. John chapter 1 says, he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came into his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Many people have no room. They want the joy, but they can't find it. No matter how much they spend, no matter how much they give, no matter what they go, they can't find that joy. This is probably one of my most favorite Bible verses, John 14:6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We who know Jesus who have made room in our heart, our inn, if you will, we can have joy and praise in His coming. If you're wondering why I keep looking at my phone, I just got this phone and I can't figure out how to turn the time on. So I'm trying not to look at my watch to see where I'm at. I'm trying to keep looking at it and I can't figure it out. So I'm just going to put it away, okay? There we go. Nothing like being honest, right? I should have had Travis up here. He'd know exactly what to do. Number one, we could have joy and praise in His perfect plan. Number two, we could have joy and praise in His coming. And number three, we can have joy and praise in His awesome gift. You know how I'm not supposed to tell jokes? Yeah, I've got some more. Yep. So, this is what you can say. Here's some sayings. If you get a gift that you're not crazy about, okay? Here we go. You ever get one of those gifts before? First thing you can say, and this is real easy. Well, well, well. Or how about this? Ugh, I really don't deserve this. Or, I love it, but I can't take it. I just fear the jealousy it would inspire. Or my personal favorite, I joined the witness protection program, so you'll never see me wearing this. Or, last but not least, too bad I promised to give all my gifts to charity this year. I told you I wasn't good at gifts, at telling jokes. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abide in the field, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not. There's a lot of fear in 2020. A lot of fear in 2020. Can I say it again? There's a lot of fear in 2020. What's the Bible tell us, beloved? I can't hear you. I'm going to let that set right there. Fear not. Doesn't say be stupid. But some Christians are walking in fear. You know why? Because we're letting our flesh rule our lives. My flesh didn't want to hand that guy a gospel tract. My flesh doesn't want to witness. My flesh doesn't want to go to church. My flesh doesn't want to be kind to my spouse. My flesh wants to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And I have to tell my flesh, I'm dying to you. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which had come to pass, which the Lord made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, the babe lying in a manger. And when they'd seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told concerning their child. And they all heard it and wondered at those things which were told by them, the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. I just had a conversation with my boys the other day. I said, boys, we don't have to talk about everything we think. We don't have to say everything we know. There comes a time we need to do what? Just ponder it. Just keep it. Don't always have to talk. Christians, can I tell you in love? Get off of Facebook sometimes. Don't put everything on Facebook. Pray about it. Talk to God about it. Ponder it. I'm in trouble. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen and was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus. What Jesus supplied thousands of years ago, simply put, was the best gift ever, the gift of salvation. In closing, John 3:16, for God, say it with me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We can have praise and joy in His awesome gift. His awesome gift. You know, Jesus came among us. Actual, physical man. The Bible tells us that in John chapter 1 and Romans chapter 1 and Philippians chapter 2. We can have joy and praise in His awesome gift because we get to tell others about His gift. The joy of salvation. The joy of His awesome gift to be shared and told with the world. Can I ask you a personal question? Do you know your neighbor's names? Have you talked to them? Have you knocked on their door? Have you witnessed to them? Can I tell you in love, your neighbors should know who you are. Why? You've got a gift to tell them. You've got a gift to tell them. For those listening on Facebook, for those in here, for those in the radio, the gift of salvation was given for all people. Amen. If we'll simply, A, admit that we're a sinner. What is sin? Anything I think, say, or do that breaks His law. That's a sin. If we'll, B, believe that Jesus Christ came down to this earth, He was born of a virgin, lived and breathed and walked on this earth, and died on a cruel cross for our sins. And if we'll see, choose, confess Him as Savior. Beloved, you can be saved. Saved from what? The penalty of sin. Which is separation from God for all eternity. I beg of you this morning. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior. If you've never made that choice. I beg you to ask yourself. What would happen to me? If I did die this year, where would I go? You can know. Christians, in closing, are you willing to step down and consider the needs and desires of little children? To remember the weakest and loneliest of people who are growing old? To stop asking how much your friends love you? And to ask yourself whether you love them enough? To bear in mind the things that other people have to bear on their hearts. To trim your lamp so that it will carry more light and less smoke. To carry it in front of you so that your shadow will fall behind you. To make a grave for your ugly thoughts and a garden for your kindly feelings with a gate open. Are you willing to do these things for a day? Then Henry Van Dyke said, you're ready to keep Christmas. We can have joy and praise in His perfect plan. We can have joy and praise in His coming. And we can have joy and praise in His awesome gift. Could we stand together, please?